Okay, Parashat Ki Tisa. Ki Tisa. I would like to revisit. I would like to revisit the story of the Egel HaZahav, making the Egel HaZahav, to give us a little bit of clarity about what the what was going on. So the Psukim are here with the Rashi. We'll just do the Psukim in Rashi. Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe. By boshesh Moshe, Rashi tells us what it means. Rashi says, kitar gumo. You see the Rashi? Lashon ichur, lateness. He was late. V'chein, and he quotes several other usages of that word in the Tanakh, or that root or word in the Tanakh, where the meaning is the same. She'oto, if you skip to the fourth line, no, I'm sorry. Kikish, the second line, the end of the second line in the Rashi. Kikishala Moshe Lahar, when Moshe went up to the mountain, Amar Lahem Sofar Beim Yomani Ba, B'tol Shei Sha'ot, he said, I'll be here exactly in 40 days. So, whatever time he went up on the seventh day of Sivan, so they figured out 40 days that time, 10 o'clock in the morning. He should be there 10 o'clock in the morning. Bitoch Sheshaot, within 6 hours. Kisfurim heim shoto yom shalom min haminyanu. They thought that the day he went, when he said 40 days, he meant including the day that he goes up on the mountain, but he meant 40 full days. Starting from the day after he went up on the mountain, according to the way Rashi understands it. Ruhu amar lahem sheli yamim arba'im shleimim. So I'm sorry, arba'im yom v'layla imo. I meant 40 days of 24-hour days. Not so you have to exclude the first day, which was less than 24 hours. So, who amar lahem shleimim arba'im yom v'layla imo, v'yom aliyato ein leilo imo. But the day he went up on the mountain was not a 24-hour day, because he went up at 10 o'clock in the morning. So that doesn't count. V'yom aliyato ein leilo imo sharei b'shiva b'nison Allah. He went up on the mountain on the seventh day of Sivan, right? You remember that the sixth day of Sivan was the day of Matan, what we call Matan Torah, which is a misnomer. It was the day that Bnei Yisrael participated in the theophany, right? Which is not exactly Matan Torah, but it was the day that proved that there could be Matan Torah, but that the actual Torah that they received on that day was minimal. It was just maybe the first two Dibrot of Aseret HaDibrot, according to Chazal. Nimsa Yom HaRvein B'Shivasar V'Tammuz. So the 40th day, just a curiosity, was Shivasar V'Tammuz. And then Moshe Rabbeinu saw, when he came down the mountain, he saw what was going on, and it took him another 40 days, took him another 40 days in the Machane to kill the people who deserved to be killed and clarify what had to be clarified. And that took Moshe Rabbeinu to Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days from Shivasa B'Tammuz until after Shivasa B'Tammuz, you got 40 days, you get to Rosh Chodesh Elul. You could get to Rosh Chodesh Elul if it's Av is one Rosh Chodesh day. You get to 40 days. And then from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom HaKippurim, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain the second time to receive the Torah again. What the difference between the first reception and the second reception is like a problem. I mean, it's an issue. But from Rosh Chodesh Elul until until Yom HaKippurim is 40 days. It's also 40 days, right? 30 days Elul and 10 days Tishrei.
Those middle days were not up on Har Sinai trying to get...
He talked to God and davened, but he was not on the Har Sinai. He was in the Machaneh.
Okay.
So again, Rashi says, Sharei b'shivasa b'sivan Allah, nimsa yom arba'im b'shivasa b'tamos. Right? Okay. That's how it was. So Rashi organizes it. He says, Boshesh Moshe, what does Boshesh mean? He came late. What do you mean he came late? He told them he would come in 40 days. But it depends how you count the 40 days. They counted wrong. They started counting from the minute that he left, whereas they should have started counting from the first 24-hour day, which was the next day. So when the 40 days were done, according to the counting of the day Israel, Moshe didn't appear. He didn't come down from the mountain. So they thought, after all, he himself told them 40 days, that there must be some terrible thing that happened. Must be some terrible happened. He said. Okay? Now, Rashi says, we're on the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the seventh line. Rashi says the following remarkable thing. He says, B'shisha asar, on the 16th day of Tammuz, Bahasatan v'erbev et ha'olam. Bahasatan v'erbev et ha'olam. Now that's not just a metaphor. That means something. It was in Rashi, as in Chazal, as in Iyov. Satan refers to something real. Now, I don't know what that means, what the real of it is, but it refers to something real. When you say Ba Satan, you mean there is a Satan in the world that can have an effect, an influence on the situation. So the Satan came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, well, Eov, no big deal, because he's rich, and he's famous, and he has good children, and everybody's happy, and he eats good meals. So of course he does mitzvot, etc. The Satan said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the argument. That's the story in Iyov. Iyov Perek Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the argument. He says, okay, well, I'm going to prove to you that Iyov is a righteous person. I'll take away his children, I'll take away his food, I'll take away his money, I'll take away his wife. He'll have nothing, and he'll still be devoted to serving God. So I think that when he says, when Rashi says, "Bishisha asar ba satan beirbev et ha'olav," what Rashi is telling us is that Bnei Yisrael, the people, even though they seem to be the ones who they instituted this whole activity, the activity of the... They weren't really responsible. There was an outside force that they had no control over, which forced them, provoked them, encouraged them to do this terrible thing and to build the Egel HaZahav. Rashi says again, B'shishasa ba satan v'irbev et ha'olam. Irbev et ha'olam, he confused the entire world. That's what the satan is able to do. V'hera demut choshech v'afeila. What do you think about that? And the satan created darkness and darkness. Right? Choshech v'afeila. The erbuvia, meaning erbuvia is a word that means like tohu vavohu. It's all a mess. Everything is a tremendous mess. The ideas and the thinking, everything becomes confused. Lomar vaday meit Moshe. What was the Satan? Who said it? Not Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel. They wondered what happened. Here it was, we thought Moshe Rabbeinu would be here now. How come he's not here? That was B'nai Yisrael. All come to Satan. And the Satan said, according to Rashi, Mate Moshe. The way I read it, is that Rashi is trying to figure out some way of minimizing the guilt, of the people. The people were not guilty. Who was guilty? The Satan was guilty. The Erbuvia was guilty. This terrible state was created from an outside factor. We call that outside factor. Rashi calls the outside factor Satan. Satan. Now you could say that Satan is something within us. You know, we would like to do that, like in modernity. But according to this, it doesn't sound like that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that there's a tactile Satan. It's like a real thing in the world, like in Eob. There's a real Satan, and the real Satan is the one who caused all this problem. Okay? And he says, Lomar v'adai meit Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu certainly has died. L'kach ba'irbuvia la'olam. And therefore, the entire world, meaning B'nai Yisrael, was confused. Irbuvia la'olam. Amar lahem, meit Moshe, he, the Satan, said to them, Moshe has died. After all, the 6 hours of the day, the 10 o'clock in the morning has come, and Moshe Rabbeinu has not yet come. And this is referenced in the Shabbat. There's a long sugya about Matan Torah. It's not true, as some have suggested, that the confusion was about whether they knew it was before the middle of the day or after the middle of the day. It's like the day was cloudy, so they couldn't tell where the sun was. Was the sun, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? You may have heard that in the age of cell phone telephones. I mean, nobody has to know that. But there was a time when this was important information. So it's also true about the Chametz on Pesach. You know, if you can't see the sun, you don't know when Chatzot is. Right? If you don't know when Chatzot is, you might eat Chametz when it's also to eat Chametz. So that the Isser of eating Chametz was pushed back from Chatzot back to, well, 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever they tell you in the calendar, that you shouldn't eat chametz, because they were not confident about the ability that everybody would have to find chatzot. So they moved it back. So he says, that's wrong. That's true, that's in the Gemara, but it's wrong. Sharei lo yarad Moshe ad yom ha-mocharat. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu did not appear until the next day. So that Rashi takes care of a side point. That in the Gemara there's an opinion that what happened, the confusion that happened, was about Chatzot. About the, is it time for Moshe Rabbeinu to come or not yet time for him to come? They were not, it was like a, but Rashi didn't like that interpretation. So Rashi liked the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to come for a day. He wasn't going to come at 10 o'clock in the morning today, but he came to the next day. Because he said 40 days, 24-hour days. Okay? Now listen to this. The Pasuk says, back to the Pasuk, they said, Vayikalu al Aharon. They went to Aharon, Vayomru Elav. You see the second line? Kum ale asei lanu Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu. Kum asei lanu Elohim. Go and make for us Elohim. And then the next words are asher yelchu lefaneinu. They will go before us. Now you know that the word Elohim is singular, even though it looks like it's plural. No? You never heard this before? Breshit bara Elokim et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. Who created the world? God, singular. That happens to be the rock bottom foundation of Jewish theology. I want you to miss out on that. But the word looks like a plural. Right? It looks like a plural. So there are many attempts at dealing with this anomalous situation. The Ibn Ezra in Breishit, the Ibn Ezra says, pluralis majestatis. He said, that's how kings talk about themselves. They talk in the plural. It's always we. Na'ase adam b'tzalmeinu kidmuteinu. Plural. Let us, plural, make it. Right? Other mefarshim, Rashi says, it's just a way of speaking about God. Like, modern type of commentaries would say it's left over from the world where they believed in the multiplicity of gods. But there's no doubt that the word looks like a plural. It looks like a plural. So Rashi says that in this phrase, they said to Aaron, Asei lanu Elohim. Asei lanu Elohim. Elohim here is not Kodesh, it's Chol. Asei lanu, make for us Elohim. So you could say that why is the word Elohim used? Why they say Elohim? Because it's lanu. It's a plural. It looks right. It looks like kind of thing, you know, that you would, that's how you would do it. Asei lanu Elohim. But Rashi says, Asher yelchu lifaneinu. Asher yelchu lifaneinu. You see that word yelchu? That word yelchu is also plural, right? No? Yelech is singular, and yelchu is plural. So this is a problem, because if you assume that Elohim is singular, then how come yelchu is plural? So Rashi says, Asher yelchu lifaneinu. Elohut arbe ivu lahem. Elohut arbe ivu lahem. This, I think, well, I mean, the words mean they desired to be led by a multiplicity of gods, by many gods. You know, as Rashi says, that use of the plural by Bnei Yisrael, when they went to Aaron, they said, make us a god. They said, make us gods. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. Now you know, because we've talked about it in the past, you know that Avram Avinu, his basic principle was one God. That was Avram Avinu's invention. Right? That is one God. Now when Melchizedek, Melech Shalem, came to Avram Avinu, what did he say? I forget what he said.
Baruch El Yom.
Kael Elyon. What does Kael Elyon mean?
The highest of.
It was above the gods. He didn't deny that there are all kinds of gods. Who else didn't deny that there are all kinds of gods? The Rambam. The Ramban certainly not. But even the Rambam didn't deny. The Rambam says, how did idolatry get started? How did idolatry get started? He says, the people made a ta'ut gedolah. They made this great error. What was the great error that people made? People said, the moon is somehow responsible for tides. Huh. The moon is responsible for tides, right? Yes?
Yes.
We all know that's true. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, God, who created the world, this is what the earlier, you know, Adam Arishon and Chayin and Hevel and Sheit, they said, if God truly created the world, but he also seemed to give power to underlings, right, to like number two, people in the created world, or number two, objects in the created world had certain powers, like the sun had the power to give life and health, and the moon had the power over the tides. So isn't it reasonable to say, without compromising your position on one great God above all the other gods, isn't it reasonable to say that God wants us to be nice to the sun and to the moon? That was the argument that the Rambam saw, which led us in a backwards kind of development, according to Wellhausen. Backwards, meaning that first we believed in one God, and then we believed in a multiplicity of God. And if you read any anthropologists, that's what they call them, you read the writings of anthropologists, it turns out that doesn't work that way. First, everybody believed that everything's a God. There's a God in a tree, and a God in the grass, and a God on the mountain. And then, little by little, they developed the idea that there should be a God above all gods. Right? But here, the Rambam's description is that the world started out with everybody believing that there's one God. One God superior to, above all others. And then they developed the idea that maybe that God wants us to serve the other gods. Chazal say that the Jews in Egypt were in Memtet Sharei Tum'ah. What do they mean? What's Memtet Sharei Tum'ah? It's a denial of the basic tenets of Avraham Avinu, right? There are two basic tenets. One is that there is a God above all the gods, and the other is Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz, that God has dominion over the created world. So here Rashi says, maybe I'm making a little bit too much out of it. Elohut arbe ivulahem. They desired, that's Rashi, the language of Rashi, they desired a world that they understood, which was a world of multiplicity of gods. Because if you needed water, you prayed to the God of water. If you needed bread, you could pray to the God of bread. And if you needed to be saved in some military action, you prayed to the God of military actions. And that made sense to them. That's the world they lived in. The world they lived in that Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to kind of raise themselves out of. Get out of that world and get to the world of the El Elyon, where there's one God above all the other gods. And here Rashi's telling me something of psychological significance. And the thing of psychological significance is, one second, Elohut Harbe Ivulahem. That once Moshe Rabbeinu, with that difficult demand that he had, that demand that was not, that they were not able to satisfy so easily. One God. Just believe in one God. They had it in them. It was like in their DNA. That the idea of many gods made sense to them. It made sense that God would divide up the power in the world to many gods. Just as God gave power to the sun, and God gave power to the moon, and in those days everybody agreed that there was power to the stars and the constellations, right? It was like a Torah. You would learn about the constellations, you would know things. You'd know things about what was going to happen, what the future would be. And so all of this was of great significance. The end of the pasuk, so that's what Yelchu Lefaneinu. Rashi says it's true. Elohim is a plural, and the Yelchu Lefaneinu is plural. Ki Zeh Moshe HaIsh, Rashi says, Kimin Demut Moshe Her'alem HaSatan, Shenos Imoto Ba'avir Rekiya HaShamayim. So that again, according to Rashi, I'm just reading Rashi, this is like very legitimate Torah learning. Rashi says, It's all the Satan. It's not like a Satan, the metaphoric Satan inside of us, like Yetzer Hara. I mean, here's the Satan. He's doing things. He's working at it. He's not just a bad influence or a bad inclination that I have. But he takes a picture. He's taking this picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kamin debut Moshe her Allah hemat Satan. He had some kind of picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he showed it to them. Shenosim oto ba'avir ki ha'shamayim, like he's hanging up in the air, like a kind of way of saying that he's gone, that Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. And then the end of the pasuk, he says, is Asher he'alanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. He brought us out. He brought us up out of Mitzrayim. Lo yadanu me'ayalo. The end of the pasuk. Asher he'alanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi. Vaya more lanu derech. He would tell us the way to go. Asher na'alava. Atatsu. So in other words, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the people confused Moshe Rabbeinu with God, and now they need other gods, because Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer with them. So I think that this pasuk, and the way Rashi reads it, is instructive. And I think that the question that Rashi has to answer is, why did they get away with it? I mean, at the end of the parasha, God said, okay, to Moshe Rabbeinu, you davened. I mean, if you look at the last pasuk, we'll look at it here on the sheet. Va'ata hanicha li. Remember that God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hanicha li, va'yichar api b'chem v'chalein, and I will angrily do away with them. Ve'seh otcha l'goy gadol. What a opportunity that Moshe Rabbeinu received. I mean, like Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person left that God could depend on. But the beginning of the pasuk catches Rashi's eye, so to speak. The beginning of the pasuk, Ata hanichali, let me be. Imagine God saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, let me be. As though Moshe Rabbeinu is God is worn out by the arguments that are presented. But look at the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. He only thinks of the last line of the Rashi. Adayin lo shamanu shitpalel Moshe aliem. We still have not heard the story. Continues in Perek Lamed Bet. This is the beginning of Perek Lamed Bet. Right, the first 10 psukim. But it continues to Pasuk Lamed Gimel 33. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Is Adayin lo shamanu. And we haven't heard that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. So what is God saying? Hanichali. Hanichali from what? About what? V'hu omer hanichali. Elakan patach lo petach v'odiyo. Kan patach lo petach v'odiyo. It's like Rashi says, it's hard to even imagine what Rashi was thinking. Rashi says, it's of God. Sort of faked it. He said, like God would say, but if you daven, it'll have a good effect on things. Even though you haven't davened yet, but I want you to know, I want you to daven. I want you to daven to change the reality. But God says, let me be. But here he opened up an opportunity for Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the opportunity? Shehadavar talui bo. Sheim yipalel aleihem lo yikalem. Sheim yipalel aleihem lo yikalem. And that we've talked about in the past. That Moshe Rabbeinu did not get a job. He was not the leader of Bnei Yisrael so that he could move them logistically from one place to another. If God appointed Moshe Rabbeinu to bring them to Eretz Kena'an, that means nothing could stop him. Nothing could ever happen, good or bad, that would deny him his charge as the leader of Bnei Israel. He was not appointed to show them the way. He was appointed to bring them there. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even in this terrible situation that we're in, with the chait of the Egel, etc., it doesn't matter. If you daven, you'll be vindicated. You will be vindicated. Go back to the text, Pasuk Bet. See, no, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Right, Barku Kol Ha'av, the Pasuk Bet. Vayom Alev Arot, Barku Nisbei Zahav, Hashem, Osnei Nishaychem, Vinechem, Uvodotechem, Vavio Elai. Take off all your jewelry, Nizamim, I like nose rings, Zahav, it's Zahav, Hashem, Osnei Nishaychem, in the ears, your wives, your children, your daughters, and bring them to me. Rashi says, Baznei Nishaychem, Baznei Nishaychem. You see the Rashi? It's the next to the last narrow line. Baznei Nishaychem, Amar Aaron Belibo, Anashim Vayeladim, Chasim Al Tachshiteyem. So Rashi says, in the name of Aharon, but of course they're not going to want to give me their jewelry. Sheva yitakeva davar, and he hoped that he would be able to put them off. Ubetoch kach yavo Moshe, and within that time, Moshe Rabbeinu would appear. Behevo imtinu, and they didn't wait to perkume al atzman. So here again you have some sort of justification for Aharon. After all, Aharon was not punished severely for what happened. He lived. He continued to live, and he continued to be part of the conversation. Perku, you see, Lashon Tzivu, oh, it doesn't matter. We'll leave out the language parts. Pasuk Yimel says, Vayitparku kol ha'am et nizmei ha'zahav ha'shem osnehem, Vayaviv al Aharon, exactly as Aharon did not want. They immediately did what he was told to do. Look at Pasuk Dalit. Vayikach mi adam v'yasar adam v'cheret v'yaseh v'enu masecha. Egel masecha. Like a betzurah. He made it into an egel. Like, it doesn't say that they asked for an egel. It doesn't say that the egel was the most desirable image of God that you could imagine. So listen to what Rashi says. Vayatzer oto becharet. Vayatzer, he made it, he fashioned it with etching, like an etching kind of process. Yesh litargimo b'shnei panim. You have to translate this in two different ways, Rashi says. Achad, vayitzer, that the word vayitzer is Lashon Shira, Becheret, Lashon Sudar, right? This, if you tie something up with a Sudar, a Sudar is a Shmata. Kimo, and then he quotes a couple of Psukim. So let's skip that. Vasheini, the second way of understanding it is, Vayizel Lashon Surah, he made it into four. Becheret, Kli Umanot Hatzorfit, the pen that the silver workers use to etch out a four. Etch out a four. Okay. She chortzin v'chortin bo tzurot v'zahav ke'eit sofer choret otiyot v'duchot o pan kesit v'kesit. Okay, it's like a sofer who also, you know, etches. If you ever saw the Sefer Torah, there is a, you know, they make lines in the Sefer Torah, without ink. You just score the parchment. So that's the tool that is used to score the parchment is what he is talking about. Okay. Then we're up to Egel Masecha. You see that? Egel Masecha is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The eighth wide line towards the end of the line. Kevan sheishlichu lakur. They took this gold, which was etched into some kind of form, and they threw it into the fire. Ba'u mechashvei erev rav. Oh, another bad guy. The erev rav. Erev rav are the people who came along with the Jews. So not In other words, it may be that they thought that the Erev Rav was being convinced to adopt the Jewish values, but they were not. They did not. And so they probably came along because they heard there's a lot of gold and silver. After all, the Egyptians gave all the gold and silver to the Jews as they ran away from Egypt. Now look at what it says. B'chashmei, the magicians of the Erev Rav, and they made this golden calf with their using their magic. Right? No?
Yes.
So in other words, you have already another excuse for B'day Yisrael that left to their own design. It would have taken them a long time to make this angel. They would have certainly had to work at it until after Moshe Rabbeinu appeared. And again, they would have gotten away with it. It was only the Erev Rav. It was only Erev, not even Aaron. Aaron tried to get them to delay, to put off making whatever they were making by saying, bring me a jewelry. And he assumed that they wouldn't bring the jewelry. So Rashi goes on and says, look, it wasn't B'nai Yisrael. It was the Satan. And now he says he blames it on the Erev Rav. The Satan was the beginning. He convinced everybody that Moshe Rabbeinu was gone from the world. And the Erev Rav is the one who actually produced the Egel Azam, which could have taken a long time. Could have also taken a long time to make. But it didn't. They did it right away. Some kind of magic that Micha had, and he had this plate, a tas. It's a plate that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and it said in Aleshur, La'alot Aronoshel Yosef Mitoch Hanilus, and he used this tas, Aleshur. What did it refer to? It referred to the Alot Aronoshel Yosef. Remember, Yosef made them promise that they would take his body with them when they left Mitzrayim on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and that he would be buried eventually in the Marat HaMakpelah, in Yosef. And so they hid the body in the Nile. And so Moshe Rabbeinu had this magical ornament on which it said, Alei Shur. And when they used it, the Aron came up out of the water. So Rashi says maybe that's what they used to make the Egel Azahav. It was either the Erev Rav who used their kishuf, or it was Micha and the Tas and the Alei Shur that did it. Larod of Arodos Yosef Mitoch Hanilus v'shlichu letoch hakur v'yatzah ha'egel, because it said on it Shur. Shur is a shore. And the shore is an ox, and a little ox is an egel, right? So okay, we got that. Masecha, okay. I don't know. We have to know. Let's look for okay. So you see, Rashi. Well, I'm trying to say, it seems to me that Rashi is telling us a somewhat different story, which makes sense when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daven." And if you daven, something's going to happen. That'll be good. Right? It won't be perfect, but it'll be good. Pasuk hey. Vayar Aaron vayibed mizbeach lefanav vayikra Aaron vayomer chag l'Hashem machar. And so Aaron made a mizbeach vayomer chag l'Hashem machar. You see the Rashi? Vayomer chag l'Hashem machar. Velo hayom, not today, Aaron said, Sheva Yabom Moshe Kod Mashiach Shiavdu. It was again, Rashi is clearing Aaron of responsibility. Not that he's not responsible, but he did what he could do. He was not great, but he was on the right side. He kept pushing it off. He knew that Moshe Rabbeinu would show up. He did not believe the Satan. He did not believe the Satan. He did not go for what the Arab Rab did. He was Aaron. He was Aaron, but if I was a Rabbi Lo'ayom, it could be, as Chazal always say, he was an Oev Shalom, a Pirkei Avot, the Rodev Shalom. So if somebody's Oev Shalom, like you know in Israeli politics, you know, if you really are Oev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, you're going to lose the election. There's no chance. So that was Aaron. V'yom echad l'shem b'chad l'ayom, shem yavom Moshe kodem shi'adu, ze pshuto. U'medrasho, he says, dvarim arbei ra'aron, ra'achur ben achoto, shayam ochicham v'haraguhu, v'zehu v'ayiven, v'zbeach l'panav. And there were things that happened. There were other people who heroically tried to stop this from happening. One of them was Khur, and Khur was killed because he took a stand for peace, right? And then the next Rashi, Chag Lashem, b'libo hayavash l'shamayim re'el. Aaron said, Chag Lashem l'char, Chag Lashem l'char, b'libo hayavash l'shamayim. Batuach hayash yavon Moshe. He was certain that Moshe Rabbeinu would come yavdu et hamakom. He was certain that if he could just push them off, just make them wait another day, wait till tomorrow, Moshe Rabbeinu would come and would solve all of these problems. Right? Pasuk Zayin. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lech reid ki shichet avcha asher aleinu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Go down from the mountain, because your people have destroyed, the people you have brought up from Mitzrayim have destroyed everything. Right by Naber, Rashi says in Shon, Ko Shi Hu, Kvo, etc. Everybody knows by Naber is harsh things. Then the Rashi in Lech Reit, it's four lines at the bottom of the Rashi. Mi Gdulat Cha, Lo Nadati Lecha Gdulat L'Bishvilam, Votasha Amit Nademoshe Mipi Peitin Shalmala. Wow. Lech Reid, Rashi explains in the fact that everybody knows this Rashi. When I say everybody knows this Rashi, it's pretty much people who know Rashi. But people who don't know Rashi. I was always amazed at the Kaplan and the accomplishment of the Cheder style education, which has no educational theory at all. My father's a chronologist, Rabbi Chumash and Rashi Baal Peh. He just knew it. He didn't try to know it. But that's what they did. They just learned Chumash and Rashi over and over again from the age of, five. Until Bar Mitzvah, they just learned the part, then they stopped. So I thought it was remarkable. And look at Rashi, Lech Reid, go down. Right, Lech, go, Reid, down. Go down. Rashi says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that to Moshe Rabbeinu? Go down from your greatness, because of Har Sinai. It's like God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you are no longer the leader of the people. What are you doing here? What are you doing at Har Sinai? You know, your job, you haven't had a job. You lost your job because your audience has disappeared. So Rashi says, from the greatness, I only gave you this opportunity to go up at Har Sinai and to meet face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and get the Torah. Because there was a nation, because there were people. Now there's no people. So you better get out of here. But Otasha Anit Nadad Moshe Mibi Beit Inshallah, at that time, the Gemara says, they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the Cheren. What do you think he was put in the Cheren for? Moshe Rabbeinu, for being in the right place at the wrong time. You can't go. You can't break down the barrier. The barrier between Moshe Rabbeinu and God was Am Yisrael. If they cease to exist, then he was also in the wrong place. You can't go into Kedusha unless there's a reason. There's always a reason. You have to give a korban. You have to seek tshuva for Am Yisrael. There's something. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu, you think he came down from the mountain, he broke the luchot, he was angry. He had a right to be angry. But that's what we see. That's what we see. You are Moshe Rabbeinu because you have an audience. Without the audience, you're not Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, maybe you're a nice person, maybe you know things, maybe you're smart, I don't know, but you're not Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was put into Cherem for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. All of a sudden, his world changed. You imagine why Moshe Rabbeinu was angry when he came down from the mountain. Shichet Amcha, Kashot, Shichet Am, Lo Ne'emar, El Amcha. El Amcha. So what is Amcha? Shichet Amcha, Rashi says. What do you mean, Shichet Amcha? Shichet Am. That's what the Torah should have written. Who's Amcha? Who's Amcha? It's not the people of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, Shichet Amcha? Shichet Amcha. Shichet Am, Lo Ne'emar Al Amcha. Listen. Erev Rashi Kibalta Miatzmicha V'Diyatam You yourself made the decision, you Moshe Rabbeinu, made the decision to bring them in and to convert them, right? Velo ne blachta bi means you did not ask for my advice. You did not ask, you did not turn to God to say, should we do this or not? But you had a svarah. You said that you had a svarah. Svarah is always good, right? You know, because for everybody, it's very good that the non-Jews, that the converts, should have an opportunity to connect to God. That they will be they'll cleave these converts to God. Oh, the first person who's really, the first Jew who's blamed. Oh, don't see the irony. Don't see like the tragedy of it for Moshe Rabbeinu. The first Jew who's blamed for the Chet HaEgel is Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Rei, he says, he doesn't know what's going on. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's up on the mountain, he's learning Torah day and night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you just lost your job. You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. You're like running on an empty tank here. What are you doing? So he says, just by reading the Rashi for the 10 Psukim, I think you could get a slightly different attitude about Now, you know that the end of Perek Lamed Beis, I've quoted the Pasuk many times, but just one more point that I would like to make. Lamed Beis. What is this? Torah Chayim? I'm just not used to it. I'm an old-fashioned person. Here we are. Don't get nervous. It says, God says to Moshe at the end, God said, okay, we'll continue Jewish history. Like, we'll continue. But I want you to know that the punishment for the Chet HaEgel is ongoing. And whenever I have to, but this is Rashi explains, whenever I have to punish B'nai Yisrael, I'll give a little extra zetz for the Chet HaEgel. And it'll go on forever. So that B'nai Yisrael were not really forgiven but they had a stay of execution. Right here, that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says that the end. Now, in respect to that idea, if you turn the page. Turn the page. That what Ochin is a pasuk b'lochem aleph. There we let pasuk come. Right, Yeravam, the worst person of all times. Yeravam was the first king of Yisrael. Yisrael is the northern kingdom. After the death of Shlomo HaMelech, I do this all the time. I must really like to do this. After the death of Shlomo HaMelech, the country split into two: the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was tied to the son of Shlomo HaMelech. His name was Rechavam. Right? And that's where the taxes increased and the burden was oppressive, and that's why the northern kingdom broke away. The northern kingdom also had a king who was anointed by a Navi, which meant that he started off his life as a legitimate king, which itself is interesting. He was anointed by a Navi named Achiah Shulamit. A real Navi. That's the story that is told. Yerava ben Nevat felt that he would not last as an independent enterprise if he could not establish a place that would compete with Yerushalayim. As long as Yerushalayim was the center of religious devotion, it did not matter that there would be a king of the northern tribes would have their own king, because the people on the holidays and other days would move in the direction of Yerushalayim and would serve God in Yerushalayim. And so Rechavam felt that was counterindicated against what he wanted, which was to create an independent northern kingdom. So you see the pasuk, "Vayomer Yerabam Libo, Atata Shuva Mamlacha LeBeit David." He had this problem. Who's Beit David? Beit David is Rechavam, the king of Yehuda. That's the south, right? Atata Shuva Beit David. If Yaleha Amazel Lasot Zvachim Bebeit Hashem Yerushalayim, Visham Leha Amazel Adonehem El Rechavam El Yehuda V'Haraguni. He says, worse than that, if they all go to daven in Yerushalayim, so they'll all become allied with Rechavam, and he'll come and he'll kill me. I won't be able to withstand this problem. Vishabu el Rechavam Melech Yehuda. They will all go back and declare their allegiance to Rechavam, the king of Yehuda. Pasuk Kafchet. Vayivaetza Melech Vayasil Vayashnei Eglei Zahav. And so the king discussed this with whoever he discusses things with. And he said, they made two Eglei Zahav, two golden calves. I'll say that again. And he made two golden calves. Must be a song like that. By Yomer, Alehem, Rav Lafem, Yalot Yerushalayim. He said to the people in the north, you don't have to go to Yerushalayim anymore. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. Hine Elohecha Yisrael. Remember that pasuk? Hine Elohecha Yisrael. Hine! Elohecha Yisrael, you can't say that Yerabam didn't know Tanakh. He knew Chumash. He knew Elohecha Yisrael, Hashem Elucha Be'eretz Yitzrayim. Vayaseh Be'dachad Be'Beit El, and one of these eglot he put in Beit El, which was in the south, and Be'et Ha'echad Matan Badan. Right, Dan is way to the north, right? Way to the north of what today is Eretz Israel. Vayihi adavar zeh lechatat. And this was, a criminal act that he did. Vayilchu ha'am lefnei achad adav. And And so he saved the northern kingdom. He saved for himself. He saved the northern kingdom himself. But why do we read these psukim now? Because of another thought. It was after the Chayta Egel, and after the 1,000 people were killed in the Machaneh, and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to save them, and after it was somehow reported that the onus, the burden of the Chayt was not on Bnei Yisrael, but either the Satan, the Erev Rab, even Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible. After all that, in the memory of Bnei Yisrael, like what does Chayt mean? They go back, as Chazal always said, that a Chayt means you go back to a Chayt. You act in the manner that you despise. You yourself say, it was awful. All of you, but then you act that way. You act that way because it's in you. It's like, you know, your memory of what happened is fresh. And so Yeravam, all he had to do was activate it. All he had to do was put up a golden calf in Beit El, and the people came running like crazy. In other words, whatever you say about the whatever terrible thing we can say about Yeravam ben Nevat, we have to agree that Yodea at Nefesh Behemto, he knew the people. He knew what would get them. He knew it would. They didn't vote on it. They didn't have a committee that of the people coming and say, we want a golden calf. He knew they wanted the golden calf. He knew they wanted the golden calf. And he knew they would beat Yerushalayim. Because what they have in Yerushalayim? Nothing. That was the whole point. The whole point that there was that you didn't go into the Kodesh Kadashim. But you didn't see what you couldn't see. I mean, that was the point. That was the difficulty that Am Yisrael had, that the people had, which enabled, again, the Satan and the Erev Rab, and Moshe Rabbeinu, even with the Erev Rab, to deny them. To deny them this, what seems to us to be the simplest of all things, that you believe in one God that's not visible. I mean, that's obvious. It's not even something that anybody would ask about. But the story behind the story of the Egel HaZahav, to my opinion, is this idea of one God versus a multiplicity of gods. And the thing you have to understand is that you could believe in one God and in the multiplicity of gods at the same time. That's what the Rambam says. You can, because believing in one God just means there's an exalted God. But we don't see the world in that way. We see the world as being made up of different authorities and different things happening, so that there is sometimes it's the ocean that is the problem, sometimes the earthquake is a problem, sometimes the sun is the issue, and sometimes the moon is an issue. So it's very easy for us to create a world in which the multiplicity of gods plays a role, right? And that was the issue. That was the issue, I think, of the Egel HaZahav. Have a good Shabbos.